Welcome to this week's installment of Cultural Conversations. You can leave questions and comments at our Facebook page at facebook.com/culturalconversations.
Psychic or medium? Clairvoyant or fortune teller? Spiritualist or mentalist? Soothsayer or seer? There are scores of words to describe an ability that is recognized the world over. In Western societies, many of these words hold evaluative meaning and are used in disparaging ways where psychics are oftentimes ridiculed and dismissed as foolish. But in other cultures, like many found in Russia, Asia, Africa, parts of Europe, and the Americas, psychic abilities are the norm. And in some of these societies, those with exceptional abilities are revered. Shamans, sought in times of crisis, utilize psychic abilities in everything from reckoning illness to mediating marital disputes. Their skills also include extensive botanical knowledge, magical rituals, soul flight, and shape-shifting. Perhaps some of my listeners just rolled their eyes at this, but I encourage those of you to keep an open mind, recognizing your rituals may seem just as ridiculous to a shaman. It's easy to be ethnocentric, or what anthropologists define as judging another culture against your own. But it takes work to understand another's practices on their own terms, and this is the greater goal of these podcasts. Why do so many Westerners reject psychic phenomenon at first glance? Well, fear is a huge motivating factor in our lives, and Westerners tend to dismiss psychic phenomenon because it's an unknown. It doesn't help that the media for some time has generated gross stereotypes of mediums. But perhaps with this cultural conversation today, psychic practicing will seem less foreign to you. With that, I welcome Brenda McPherson.
Hello.
Hello. First off, I want to ask you, what term do you prefer? Psychic, medium? Is there another term?
There is a difference between a psychic and a medium. A medium is one who is trained. A psychic basically has natural abilities. And a lot of your psychics are untrained. A lot of your psychics are just psychics, but all of your mediums are psychic. If that makes sense.
Yes, I think it does.
But I prefer whatever is comfortable for everyone. I go professionally by a psychic medium.
And how long have you been aware of your psychic connections?
I have been doing this professionally for about 10 plus years. I have been an empath since birth. So basically I was born with the ability to feel what others feel and to sense things. Growing up, I grew up with a ghost in the house, pretty much. I was home a lot. I was a latchkey kid, but she kept track of me. Basically, she would come and play with me when I was younger. So these abilities to me have been here since I was little.
It's all you know.
Pretty much.
So there wasn't this fear. You didn't have fear of these abilities or the ghost or what have you.
No, what I had was a confusion because I thought everybody else could do it. And I couldn't understand why I was the only one who could see these things or feel these things. And I never told anybody about it because I didn't want to be different from my friends. I just kept it a lot to myself.
Now, some of the things you saw or felt as a child, what was that like? You know, it's easy to reflect on that now as an adult when you feel someone else's feelings. But as a child, was that especially confusing or did there come clarity with that?
It was hard because it was hard to figure out which were my feelings and which were my friends or my family. If it was friends or family, it was a different energy. If I saw one of my friends who were, wasn't having a good time or they're having some problems, I would approach them and ask them what was wrong. Family, not so much.
Did you formally let people know about what you just thought everyone had the ability for, or was more just, I sense something's going on?
I would just ask in the blanket, are you feeling okay? I never told anybody what I felt or let them know what was going on within me because, again, I didn't want to appear different.
Okay. Did you meet any other children with similar abilities on your journey?
Not to my knowledge. I didn't talk about it much.
Right.
It was something I kept to myself.
Do you talk about it openly? I mean, obviously you are with me today, but do you talk about it openly today or are you somewhat guarded, just depending on the audience?
It would have to depend upon the audience. I am open with who I am. If someone asks me what I do for a living, I will tell them I am a psychic medium. and then watch them back up about 2 feet.
And then where does that conversation go next? How do you handle the skepticism?
I just kind of smile and accept them. That is where they're at. And that's all I can do. I can't force them to say, this is me, accept me for who I am. You know, if they're not at a place to where they can accept my abilities or where I'm at in my path, then 9 times out of 10, we're not going to mesh well, and I'm okay with that. If, however, they ask me questions, then I'm more than happy to answer them as best I can.
Do you experience the flip side of that? When someone finds out that you're a psychic medium, they're like asking you all kinds of questions and want all these answers from you.
Yes, the best one I've ever gotten was, do you know the winning lottery numbers?
Yeah, I imagine you get that a lot.
And my answer was, if I did, I wouldn't be here. I would be in Tahiti. It's like, I don't have access to that information. And that's what I tell them. I don't play the lottery or don't care to.
Yeah. So what kinds of information do you have access to?
I've done basically where they are on their life. I've done past life information. I've done healing information, give advice and guidance, and empowerment. Is if someone comes to a reading, those are the three things that they would expect from when they walk out, is an empowerment, that I make sure that they are in charge of their lives and they have the ability to change it, and make sure that if they had any questions that they get a guidance with them, some homework. I always give homework out. Mm-hmm. And just kind of a sense of healing, of I'm glad I came. Mm-hmm. Kind of a sense.
Now, if information you receive isn't entirely positive, how do you handle that with clients? That's got to be difficult.
It is difficult. There's certain information that even if I get it, I will not give. Simply because I have seen it, no matter how you give it, it will knock someone so far off a path, or it'll cause so many problems. It also may come up as a story on an evening news. So I don't give that information. If someone asks me, when am I going to die? I say, well, we all are going to die at some point. Mm-hmm. Even if I do get the information, I won't tell them that, because to me it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Mm-hmm. If it's anything negative, I will give a positive spin on it. Like if someone I know is going through a bad time and I see it's not going to get any better, I will put somehow a positive spin on it to say, hey, you know, life is not going great right now, but it will get better, you know, if you do da-da-da-da-da, and give them some guidance with it. You know, just kind of give them hope.
I like the sense of empowerment. In the reading I've done over the years, I haven't necessarily seen that word come forward. Can you share a story or two? I'm sure you have many. where someone really left thinking or believing or feeling something differently than before, or perhaps they contacted you a month later and said, hey, Brenda, anything that stands out?
I've actually, the problem is picking just one. I've actually seen someone go through a process of completely changing their life, both as a client and also as a teacher. And it's they basically have been in one space in their life where they've been confused. They didn't know where to go. They were full of fear and full of uncertainty, to the end where they get almost like a new self. And it's that whole process where they overcome their fears. They overcome their doubt. They start believing in themselves. They start believing in what they can do. And the negative tape that plays in their head sometimes will start to lessen and go away, because that's a lot of times what they're fighting, is that negative tape. And just by the guidance, you can see that progression. And also, you can also see it in the questions that they ask, how they act, how they treat others. And to see that blossoming from a person who is so negative and so fearful and so doubtful to someone who has a positive aspect in life, who knows that their life is going better, who has control over their life, and who makes good decisions and is aware of their path, and is, you know, it's just from that night and day change, it's just beautiful. It's like, I call it the rose effect.
So it sounds like you see clients over time. It's not just like one session and then they're off on their own. It sounds like you have folks who come back to you repeatedly.
Yes. Okay.
What percentage of your clientele, if you had to quantify that?
Depending upon where they are in their life, probably about 58-60%.
Wow, that's fascinating. You know, and when I opened up our conversation here, you know, as a cultural anthropologist, you know, I'm aware psychic abilities are a norm, like I said, in many world societies. Do we all have these abilities?
Yes. Inside ourselves, we all have the abilities. Whether or not we choose to use them and awaken them is merely our choice.
So what do you think was, can you even say what, you know, you've always known this to be a part of your experience. Were you raised in an environment that nurtured this?
No. my parents didn't like any form of religion. Any form of ability at all. They were very, you go to school, you do your homework, you know, religion or spirituality had no effect on them at all. They were both raised in very restricted religious environments, and they wanted us, me and my sister, to be free to explore what we wanted as far as that realm was concerned. But neither one of my parents were psychic or had any healing abilities at all. My grandparents, my grandmother did, but she, it was mutated. She didn't know what it was. So I found out later that when she would pray or anything, people got better. So I always cued she had the hotline to God, because when stuff happened and she prayed, things changed. And she had a remarkable calming sense about her. And I found out doing a little research that I had a couple of healers in my mother's line. So, but that, as far as that nurturing at home, no.
It sounds like it was nurtured maybe indirectly, though, the fact that your parents let you and your sister explore this on your own, so maybe in a latent way.
Yeah,
they supported that.
They did. Anything that wasn't out of the norm, they didn't like. But, you know, they gave us the freedom to believe what we wanted. And even later in life, they still did. Later in life, when I turned 18, I decided that I wasn't comfortable anymore with regular church. It didn't fulfill a certain need. I felt they excluded a lot of things that were important to me. And my path, and I became Wiccan. Mm-hmm. And as I progressed, Wicca did the same thing for me and my path. It excluded a lot of things, so then I changed my path again. So it's, to me, my path has been always evolving, and it's always consciously moving forward and moving lighter.
Well, that's, you know, something I tell my students when I lecture about religion. You know, all of us have it. When you look at what the word really means, it means mm-hmm. to reconnect. And whether you're reconnecting with this faith or this idol, this symbol, we all reconnect. Mm-hmm. It's just, we just do it in very different ways. Now, you had just mentioned a few minutes ago that we all have this ability, and if someone chooses to awaken that, do you find that in your practicing that you help? Are there clients that come to you that say, I want to be awakened to this or open to this?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
A lot of times they'll be, when they get to a certain spot in their path, when the normal things that people would come to a psychic would usually be the relationships, money, or their health, where there's just the three top things that people will go see a psychic for. They'll start delving into their spiritual needs and their path. They'll start figuring out, well, okay, I need to be on my spiritual path, or I need to, and they'll start to become awakened, and I'll start answering them questions and guiding them. Maybe they need to see a Reiki practitioner for healing, and I know a wonderful Reiki practitioner I can send them to, or another type of therapist. You know, it's all of guiding where they need to be.
If there, you know, some concluding remarks or something you'd like to leave listeners with, perhaps those more skeptical, as I said, if they haven't already stopped the podcast, you know, I see in sitting here with you today that there's nothing hocus pocusy here. This is just, you've accepted this a very long time in your life. This is your reality. And it really is something that we all have the ability to. It's just whether we're open to it or not. So I don't even know so much if it's belief. It's just ultimate faith. And maybe for some folks, those are the same things. I don't know. But is there anything you'd like to leave listeners with here before we say goodbye?
Just to be open-minded to others and to accept those who work slightly different than others, just to be open and accept them from who they are and not to judge too harshly upon them, because that's where everything gets kind of rocky, is when that happens. And just open acceptance for who they are and where they are on a path is great.
And thank goodness for the cultural, the biological, the ecological diversity we have on the planet today.
Oh, yes.
And I don't think I'd have a profession if that wasn't the case.
Yes.
So thank you again, Brenda. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you for listening to Cultural Conversations, edited by Sarah D'Elia and Blake Lau. Join me every Thursday for a new installment of the podcast at nipr.fm to learn more about this beautiful human mosaic. You can leave questions and comments at our Facebook page at facebook.com/culturalconversations.